Fanboys Guide to the Galaxy podcast, the official podcast of GalacticVoyage.com. We talk about Star Wars,
fanboy style.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
All right, so we're with C. Andrew Nelson, who is a legend, pretty much. And he's not only done from the actor's stuff, to you also do the technical stuff, visual effects artists, right?
That's true, yes.
And how did you get started with LucasArts?
I got started with LucasArts, oddly enough, by answering an ad. I was working various jobs. I've been an actor since I was 10 years old, but I wanted to get into visual effects and animation professionally. I taught myself how to do it, because back when I was starting, there were no colleges or even high school classes on how to do it. So I had taught myself, and I wanted to work. I'd gotten very interested in the games industry and the adventure games that Lucas was making, and games like Secret of Monkey Island, Zack McCracken, and Maniac Mansion, things like that. And so I submitted a resume. I'd seen an ad that was an opening for a customer support representative. So I'm thinking, any foot in the door is going to work. I interviewed. I got hired. I did customer support for a year, transferred to the art department, worked my way up, and eventually became a senior artist and visual effects supervisor there. And then transferred over to Industrial Light and Magic and worked there on the new Star Wars movie.
Right, and then you also worked on the special editions, and you were actually Darth Vader.
Yes, uh-huh. I started playing Darth Vader for Lucasfilm in 1994. It was kind of interesting because I was just sitting at my desk at LucasArts one day, minding my own business, and the phone rings, and it's the head of public relations. And she doesn't even bother to say hello to me. She just says, "Hey, Andrew, how tall are you?" And I'm thinking, what do you want, something down off a shelf or something? She was like 5'1", so I'm thinking, you know, she just wants something down off the shelf. And so I said, "Yeah, I'm 6'5", why do you ask?" And she says, "Do you have any acting experience?" Wheels are spinning in my head, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, where is she going with this? No, it can't be that. And I said, yeah, I've been acting since I was 10 years old. I've got at that time, I had about 20, 25 years of film and theater and TV experience. And then she said to me, "Can you breathe for me?" So I was like, on the phone, and I was like, okay, so what's the deal? What's going on? And she explained to me they were looking for somebody to play Vader for a charity event at the Marin Civic Center for the Marin County Fair that year. Lucas always had a booth there, and they were doing a special event for Big Brothers Big Sisters of America. And so I tried on the costume, and it fit. And we did that one event, and I thought, wow, that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that's never going to happen again. And I just thank God I had a chance to do it. But then they called me back a little bit later. And they called me back again. And flash forward to today, and I've played Vader about 70 times.
Wow, wow. And then not only were you Vader in the movies or in events and commercials, but you also did the live action, the cutscenes for the video game.
Yes, uh-huh. I did the Rebel Assault 2 game and the Dark Forces games. Yeah, right. It's actually about a half hour of full motion video in Rebel Assault 2.
And, right, yeah.
And it was actually some of the first live action footage that had been shot since the Ewok movies. You know, so we brought out all the original costumes and everything and did that. So it was an interesting experience.
Great. And you're also telling me that you played Kyle Katarn a little bit.
Yes, I did. In Jedi Knight Rebel in Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2, anytime you see close-ups of Kyle Katarn's hands or his feet, that's me. I'm also the villain Jarek's hands and feet too. So if you look at the dark side ending of that game, when Kyle takes out the little hollow projector and then he drops it on the ground and steps on it and squishes it, that was me.
Nice.
We had three of those that were built by Don Bees from the ILM model shop, and we had three takes to try to get it right. The third take was when we got it. So
what was your favorite performance? Was it which Darth Vader performance? Was it in Rebel Assault or was it in the special editions? You know, which one was the most fun to do?
Wow, one of the most fun things when we get to play a character like Vader is when I've done TV shows or commercials that take place outside of the Star Wars universe. If it's inside the Star Wars universe, when I did a commercial for M&M's a couple years ago, it was when Vader is turning the M&M's to the dark side, dark chocolate M&M's. Vader has to play it straight because it's taking place inside the Star Wars universe. But when you go outside the Star Wars universe, then you can kind of ham it up, and that's a lot of fun. We did the Showbiz Show with David Spade was probably one of the more fun things because they sent a correspondent out to Skywalker Ranch he's supposedly going on a job interview, and while he's on the job interview, he has this fantasy of what it'd be like to be working there. So he then starts thinking he's living with the Star Wars characters. So we're making breakfast in the kitchen. I'm sitting there and I'm playing video games with him. And when he turns away. Looks away, I quick use the force to win the game. We ring a woman's doorbell, and when she comes out, we pelt her with water balloons. So it's something that you don't see Vader normally doing, which was a lot of fun to do.
Nice. And let's talk about some of the visual effects artist stuff that you
did.
I'd love to talk about the Inferno Machine.
Okay.
What kind of work did you do on that, and what exactly does a visual effects artist do exactly?
Well, visual effects artist, the basic job of the visual effects artist is to take the totally surreal and make it look believable. I don't want to say make it look real, but I must say you want to make it look believable. I used to teach at the Academy of Art University. I was the visual effects director there for about 2.5 years, right after I left Industrial Light and Magic. And I would tell my students that don't try to make things look real, but try to make them feel real, make them feel right. And for feature films, what you do with visual effects is you want to make... the idea is that no matter how fantastic the image is that's on the screen, I mean, you could have giant clowns walking down the street, there's a spaceship crashing into a building, there's a flood of chocolate pudding that's coming down the street, and whatever it is, dinosaurs playing tennis, whatever it is that's happening on the screen, no matter how strange it is, the idea is that the visual effects artist has to make it look as if all they did was set up a camera and start rolling.
Right.
Now, in games, the visual effects are a little bit different, although they're getting much, much more realistic, and it gets to the part to where you can't really tell the difference between cutscenes in a game and the scenes in a movie now. So it's amazing what you can do in games. When I was at LucasArts, and specifically working on Inferno Machine, one of the things I was doing was I was working on textures for that. I had to do, it was actually the last project I worked on before I moved over to ILM. And so I was doing tiling cycling animations was the last thing I did on there. So I had to do lava textures, water textures, things like that. And you have to make it, actually, here you've got an image that's 16 pixels by 16 pixels. And it has to make a complete image when it's butted up against itself on all sides. So it's a continuous texture. But it also has to tile like that, but it also has to cycle. So it has that flow. And,
right.
And so it was very tedious work. And I went from that to going to Industrial Light and Magic and working on the backgrounds for Phantom Menace. And so here now I have this huge canvas to work with where I'm creating the backgrounds for the planet of Naboo.
Right, yeah, you're talking to me about that. That's awesome. Where you,
uh-huh.
you take explain sort of the process that you did with that one image.
Right. Well, with when it comes down to the planet of Naboo in Episode 1 of Star Wars, it all had to be created. It was all fabricated. We didn't actually shoot on a real location. The beautiful farmland of Petaluma, California, stood in for Naboo. George wanted rolling green hills, and he wanted beautiful white puppy clouds. He wanted this pristine landscape. So we went out there. Visual effects supervisor Dennis Muren went out and shot a whole bunch of still photos of those rolling green hills. And so we would take those photographs, and we would take the foreground grass would be maybe from one photograph, the midground grass from another photograph, the background grass from another photograph, and then every hill would be from a completely different photograph. Put it all together in Photoshop, and then you would have to paint out the cows and the telephone poles and the tire tracks and make it, look like it's not Earth. And then you would have to put in some rocks here and there and make it beautiful. But then you'd have to damage it with a bunch of Gungan footprints and scorch marks and things like that. And then the clouds, we had a beautiful, huge library of puffy white clouds photos, and we burned through those so fast with all those backgrounds we had to create. And finally, we just ran out of clouds. And I had mentioned this to my wife, who was a wonderful photographer. And she, one day, it had just rained the night before, and there was these wonderful clouds hanging out there. And while she was driving, managed to hang out the car window and shoot these amazing cloud photos, and that saved us. And so a bunch of the clouds in that sequence are her clouds from that one day. And so you put in all these different clouds in there, and then you'd have to take clouds and sort of sculpt them together, take a little bit of this cloud, a little bit of that cloud, and put it together. But that's how we did the whole ground battle.
That's incredible. So do you have like a favorite like shot or sequence that you helped create either in any project, Star Wars or...
Oh, let's see. One of the most interesting things that I did actually ended up on the cutting room floor of for episode 2. We had 17 shots from episode 2 where 3PO was originally going to be that sort of puppet 3PO you saw in episode 1 where he doesn't have his armor plating on yet.
Right.
So it's not an actor in costume. It was a big full-scale puppet, very heavy. And that's how 3PO was for the first half of the film originally when it was shot. But then George changed his mind. He thought he would show a greater passage of time if we actually saw 3PO as the character in costume. But prior to that, what we had to do is go through, and Anthony Daniels was actually in the harness that was controlling the costume, and we had to paint Anthony out of all these shots where he's standing behind the character. But I had a shot where Anthony is between the camera and the puppet, so it's looking over his shoulder, so he's obscuring about a third of the puppet or a quarter of the puppet. And it was just a miserable thing to try to paint him out of that and paint in what would be the rest of the puppets. It took me 2 months to do that shot, and then it got cut from the movie.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the shot is still in there, but we actually shot actor in costume.
Right.
And then put that in there. So I actually then had to go out and take out the entire puppet as well. So. But
maybe it'll be put back in the Blu-ray or something.
Who knows? That would be interesting. I hope they would. But I would say one of the more fun things was working on Galaxy Quest was a lot of fun. We had a lot of great fun shots on that. I got to do the sequence where Tim Allen has been beamed up to or he's been up on board the ship there, and he still thinks he's sort of hung over, and he thinks he's doing an interview or a commercial or something like that.
Right.
And he thinks he's supposed to get back in his limo and go back to his home, and suddenly the wall opens up. There's this huge space outside there, and this gelatinous goo starts covering him as a force field, and he goes hurtling through space screaming at the camera like that. And I worked on that sequence, and that was fun. Staring for weeks at my monitor of Tim Allen just screaming at me like that.
Do it.
Well, that's awesome. You also do some voice work too. What are some examples?
Well, I guess the one that I'm known for is doing Luke Skywalker's voice. Apparently I'm the first actor to have ever actually played both Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker officially, so that makes me either my own father or my own son. I don't know. It sounds like an episode of Jerry Springer, if you ask me.
Do it.
But,
do it.
Dysfunctional families on the next Springer.
Do it.
But, I did Luke Skywalker's voice for a couple of LucasArts games. I've done voices for other games as well. The Dynasty Warriors series for Koei, and Mystic Heroes also for them, and various animation projects and things like that. So I love doing voice work. The great thing about doing voice work is it doesn't matter what you look like or how strange you look doing it. I mean, you can contort yourself in all kinds of ways just to get that voice to come out of you. And I've had some really odd voices thrown at me. So can you do a surfer dude octopus who's singing country music? It's like, okay.
Okay.
So, you do it.
So, can we hear a little of a sample of the Luke Skywalker?
Let's see. I'll see if I can do it now. It's been a while. It's like, Lieutenant Farlander, are the B-Wings combat ready?
Nice.
That was from the X-Wing CD. So.
Right,
that's,
yeah.
Now, mind you, that's without any prepper or anything like that. I'm just,
it's pretty good.
Thank you.
Okay. It's the best I've heard in a long time.
Okay.
All right, well, I think we're just about going to wrap this up. Is there anything else? How can people contact you?
Well, if they want to contact me, they can go to candrewnelson.com. They can contact me there through the contact page. That's my official website. They can also go to teachingspot.com if they have any interest in visual effects or animation. The site that I originally created is just a place to put my homework assignments when I was teaching at the Academy of Art. And then when I left in school, I turned it into a site that's geared not so much on how to do visual effects and animation, but how to get a job doing that. Because that's the thing that doesn't get taught too often. And so there's some resources on there, and that'll be that site's in the process of being updated right now, but it's another good resource. And then I'm currently, my current projects, I'm working on a project called planetchasmo.com. It's basically, it's an online virtual world for teens and tweens. It's kind of a blend of sci-fi and pop culture, pop music. We've got a lot of virtual concerts. In fact, we've got a B.O.B. concert running this weekend right now. We've had David Archuleta on there. We've had Jordan Sparks. We've got Neo coming up in concert. But it's an online virtual world where, you know, kids and teens can create a little avatar, make it look however they want, human or alien, and run around this virtual world and play games and interact with other people all across the country, all across the world, and things like that. Well, I'm also consulting on a project called Ninja Time Pirates. You can go to ninjatimepirates.com. I can't say anything about it yet, but it's going to be a very cool project.
It sounds cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
All right.
This is our first sort of live interview, so it's a milestone.
I am honored. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and character, or any other Star Wars-related items are the registered trademarks of Lucasfilm or their respective trademark or copyright holders.